Hey everybody, I hope you and your loved ones are safe, happy and healthy. Before you listen to or watch the show, remember to subscribe and follow the Mortgage Broker Club on Facebook and LinkedIn to stay up to date with all the latest news and updates. Please note we are not a mortgage broker and do not lend money directly to clients. Remember, a mortgage and or borrowing secured against your home or property can be repossessed if you do not keep up the mortgage repayments. The content of this show is for information purposes only and is not to be relied upon. Stay well, and I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Sean Rogers, and I am delighted to be joined today by Nicola Firth. Nicola is the CEO of Knowledge Bank, a former mortgage broker and founder of the award-winning Knowledge Bank for Mortgage Brokers. On today's show, we're going to be picking Nicola's brains and trying to extract as much value for you as possible. But firstly, Nicola, how are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Great to be chatting again. It's been a little while, so it's really, really good to be chatting.
Yeah, I think it's been about 2 years, which I can't decide if that's flown or it feels like I've lived 30 years in that 2 years. It's been pretty crazy. So not really sure. It's either a really, really short time or feels like a really, really long time. But it's lovely to have you back on. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
To speak with you as well. So for those who may not know Nicola, can you start by explaining what Knowledge Bank is and the services available to mortgage brokers?
Yes, definitely. So Knowledge Bank is the UK's largest criteria search system. It was the original one that was out there. We have well over 4,000 brokers now that use the system and over 260 lenders. So it replaces your old spreadsheets, your little black books and all of that. So it's kept up to date. All of the criteria is kept up to date by lenders themselves. So they each have a login to the system. So you can search on, well, residential, buy-to-let, second charges, equity release, self-build, bridging and commercial. So you can search across any of those, whatever kind of case you've got to place, those little nuances with criteria, you pop those in and it will tell you in a nutshell which lenders will do it and what their criteria is around that. So we have got other things as well on the system. So we put things like service levels on there. We put details of product transfers. We've just got our fantastic new service and Notify on there as well, which is where you can put these cases, these new inquiries to lenders in real time. And of course, they'll come back to you in real time. You've got the audit trail when it goes to underwriting. So we just launched that on the 1st of September, and that's proven really popular, as you can imagine, because again, there's nothing else like it in the industry.
Yeah, not like you, Nicola, and Knowledge Bank to be launching new products and new
benefits. We do like to sit on our laurels, but we thought, go on, will it?
Yeah, definitely never quiet, but always trying to innovate and add more value, to be fair, although I am biased because I'm a big fan. I was in a meeting, and after the meeting, I was speaking to two people that were present, and it's quite interesting. They had different views in respect of the property market, specifically the purchase and sale market, just to clarify that. On the one hand, there was someone arguing that the news from Barrett this week that forward sales fell to 9,221. I'm not recalling this, by the way, with memory. I had to dig this out so that I can get the numbers right. But forward sales fell to 9,221 in the 3 months to 8th October 2023, and 13,314 a year earlier. Whilst they added the outlook for the year ahead remained uncertain, with the availability and pricing of mortgages critical to the long-term health of the UK housing market. Alongside, they were talking about the surveyors they know who were saying they've been quite quiet at the moment, that they haven't got a big bookings list at all at the moment. They felt that that was indicative of a downturn in the market with prices set to fall markedly. On the other hand, there was someone else there who said that they felt that whilst prices may come down a little and the new build sector without government schemes may dip, we may be through the worst of things post mini budget 2022, meaning there was still good mortgage availability if you have the knowledge. And their point was that there's always death, debt and divorce, which is something I've used and heard before. And that means that'll create the triggers for sales and change as a result. So I'm interested in, where do you stand on the current property market prices, the outlook ahead for 2024? Is it doom and gloom, or are you cautiously optimistic?
You see, I'm naturally an optimist. anyway, and I think, you know, I've been in this industry for enough years now, you know, as a broker for years and years before Knowledge Bank, to know, and what I will say is, when I'm saying years and years, I really do mean it. I'm talking 2008, I'm talking credit crunch. So I sort of lived and worked through that as a mortgage broker. So when I see what's going on now, I'm like, oh, it's fine. You know, compared to that, it's absolutely fine. Now, for a lot of brokers that are just getting into this market or have maybe been in for a year or two, it's a worrying time. You know, it's a really, you know, it's the first time they've been through this. But anybody, you know, any sort of length of time in the industry knows that boom and bust is just it's what happens, isn't it? You know, it's just a stay of the market. So I am cautious optimistic. I think this year, I mean, we're still you know, we're reeling off the back of the, dare I say it, the mini budget, which I know nobody, you know, sends shudders down our spine when we talk about what happened there and the mini budget, you know, and that didn't do us any favors. But there've been other things as well, economic factors, you know. You've got the war in Ukraine, and of course now, you know, that there's the other, you know, with Israel, Palestine. Oh, look, all of this affects confidence and stability in the markets, and we don't know how that's going to play out. So, but looking sort of closer to home and thinking about, you know, your interesting point about, you know, death, divorce, marriage, all of these things that you know, they are triggers, and whatever's happening in the world, people's lives go on. You know, certainly, you know, in the UK, I think people are very resilient. People, there's a big thing at home ownership is, you know, absolutely what people aspire to, you know, make that final payment on their mortgage. And, you know, we're seeing the searches that we're seeing on Knowledge Bank suggest that people are still finding ways to do that, whether that is home ownership for themselves, even first time landlords looking still to get into the buy to let market. You know, it's fair to say that the activity is still there. And I think what's done the most damage, and I say the most damage, but inevitably this year, what we've had is the constant So I think the big thing about it is instability in the market is what causes stagnation. That's a big part of it. So people hold off. If they can hold off, they do. They're like, let's watch, let's wait. That we saw that at the back end of last year. You know, everybody shut up shop at the end of November. They won't forget it. Let's just celebrate Christmas early, you know, and we'll come back in the new year, see what happens. Or we came back in the new year and look what happened. The rates went up and up and up and up. So I think we are going to now start to see some stability in the market. I think interestingly as well, you know, inflation seems to be, you know, seems to have got a grip on that. And actually, interestingly, just this week, it was in the news about wage rises have now overtaken inflation. Now, that's not insignificant. You know, so people have now got the money to spend. I know I'm generalizing here, and I fully appreciate it's different circumstances for everybody. But I do think that broadly speaking, people will have the want and the desire to move, to remortgage, to extend, whatever that may be. And that will generate, as soon as we see rates stabilize and people get used to that new normal, which we've not had for how many years, it will generate activity in the market. It absolutely will. So how quickly that happens is another question. But yeah, that's a long way of saying I am cautiously optimistic for next year.
Yeah, I think if I was a mortgage broker at the moment, not that I'm qualified to comment at all, but I think I would be pushing hard with former clients who have got fixed terms coming up in the next 12 months, and just the community around me, friends and family, that whilst people might want to sit tight and sort of wait, obviously there are some products that are 6 months cancelable.
Yeah.
So therefore, you don't want to be leaving things to the last minute. And if you are the kind of person that's worried about rates, and why wouldn't you be? Last thing you want is to be falling onto standard variable when you're fate in the lap of the gods to a degree. So I think getting into having the client base being comfortable and coming to you fairly early, and say, okay, let's get the best deal that's available now with a view that we can continue to monitor this for the next at least 3 to 4 months. And then if things swing, as long as we can cancel it.
Yeah.
I don't really see how people have got too much to lose in that situation.
And even less so with product transfers, because what we saw happen over the last 12 months is product transfers go, you know, lenders offering product transfer windows now extended from what were 3 months, you know, up to 6 months, and in some cases beyond. Now, we did see there was a little bit of controversy around that, because what we did see is some lenders saying, okay, we have extended that window, but you're stuck on that rate. So once you pick it, if rates change, if they come down, you can't do anything. But we actually highlighted that, and we put a new category on Knowledge Bank, and we asked lenders to declare what their stance was. So that did help to maybe change a few minds about, you know, in terms of treating customers fairly, maybe. I mean, I understand from a lender's point as well, it's very difficult. They've got tranches of funding, and, you know, it's a massive, massive problem for them if rates start changing. But it's also for brokers and, you know, and for their clients. And this is what I'm saying, that stability really does, that's what helps to breed a healthy market, that stability. So, you know, even if you are in doubt, you can check with the product transfer, check if that lender will let you change it, but put some security there for your clients, and just keep having that conversation, because I'm sure they'll appreciate you reaching out to them as their advisor.
Yeah, and what are the most searched for terms currently on Knowledge Bank, and what does that tell us about the market, if anything, right now?
So it's an interesting one. So the two main areas, obviously, are residential and buy-to-let. Of course, we've got all the other lending types, and they all tell a story. But if I stick with those two, so what we're seeing in terms of residential, it is predominantly around affordability. That is without a shadow of a doubt. So, and that goes across, you know, several different categories that they could search on to try and get the most out of affordability. So, for example, looking at, you know, affordability in its rawest form, you know, how many times income and all of that sort of thing. But then also we're looking at things like, you know, maximum term for employed income, you know, rather than on pensions. So that suggests people working longer to try and afford, you know, to afford the mortgage payments, you know, maximum term just in general. So how far can they stretch it? You know, and we have seen interest only creep in there as well. So it's an interesting one, is that. I think affordability plays obviously a massive part, but it does show that if people can afford it, they're looking to do that. And of course, that's, you know, direct impact then of the rates, and that same loan now costing more than it did sort of 12, 18 months ago. Buy-to-let's an interesting one. Where I'm particularly encouraged with buy-to-let is we often see the in the top five searches, first time landlords, and I think, well, that's really good, because this, whether they go through then to because bear in mind, when they're on Knowledge Bank, they're searching, they're looking to place a case and have a conversation with a client. Now obviously that then needs to translate into written business, but the fact that the inquiries are there, if that doesn't translate to written business, you know, what's the blocker? Is it the size of the deposit? Is it the, you know, the rental incomes? You know, where is that going? But while the inquiries are there, you feel like you've got something to work with. And even if it's not affordable right now for that person, they're certainly aspiring to be a landlord. So I find that quite interesting that, you know, that we are, you know, first-time landlords, no requirement to be a homeowner is another one. You know, so again, these are people that are maybe sat at home and thinking, with parents possibly thinking, okay, I don't want to buy my own place. Or maybe they're renting and thinking, actually, I just want to get an investment, you know, my foot on the property ladder for a future investment. So I find that really quite encouraging, actually.
There's a lot of pressure and tensions in the buy-to-let market, just to follow on from the previous comments. Lots of challenges for tenants, landlords and mortgage brokers. Focusing on landlords and mortgage brokers, how do you view the appetite and approach of lenders in the buy-to-let market currently? What would you like to see from lenders in the buy-to-let market? And are there any interesting new products? And if so, is this something that would be indicative of maybe additional creativity and new products in the buy-to-let market in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, there's no two ways about it. The buy-to-let market's been a challenge, hasn't it? You know, for brokers and lenders, and of course, you know, the end customer as well. It's been a massive challenge. I mean, we have seen obviously rates go up, but also as well high fees as well in this area. And I don't know. It's like, how do you feel about the high fees? It depends the size of the loan, and that largely depends on which part of the country. And so when I was a broker, I worked in like Barnsley, Sheffield, Wakefield areas, so like sort of South and West Yorkshire. And the property prices are just not a patch on what they are down south. So those high fee products just don't work as well, because it just doesn't make sense. Whereas if you're buying central London, where prices are like really, really high, you know, if you're paying like, you know, £5,000 fee or something like that, it might be, you know, to save on the rate. And you know what? Lenders have got a job to do. They have to sort of make money from lending money. That's exactly what they're there for. So you've kind of got to go one way or the other. I think in terms of innovation, I mean, we have seen stuff, haven't we, with the like Quantum with 100% interest cover, we'll chat about that. That's interesting, you know, and that's a real innovation. And I love that, you know, that's from a relatively new and relatively small lender. And I love the fact that innovation is coming in from these kind of lenders. Just, you know, it just really does help, doesn't it? You know, with anybody that is, you know, they've got clean credit, they would otherwise be absolutely fine. You know, it really does just help on that affordability thing. So in terms of what we're going to see next year, you know, I firmly believe we'll see, you know, more innovation from the buy-to-let area. It would be good to, on that affordability, on the rental covers, that's where I think the work needs to be done, if anything. And that is a challenge. That is certainly a challenge for lenders to get comfortable with that. But that's got to work, because the other thing that lenders, and I know are aware of, is the fact that there are so many landlords out there that have tenants in, maybe long-term tenants. They're probably getting underneath market value for that property because, hey, they're a good tenant. They don't want to upset them. They don't want to lose them. And also those landlords with a, you know, a real social conscience in terms of the fact that they, you know, it's difficult times for their tenants, and they don't kick them when they're down. They're already struggling to afford food and heating. It's the affordability, that's the sticking point, isn't it? That's the sticking point. So some sort of innovation around that. And then I can't not mention the green issue as well, because I mean, it's happening, it's not happening, but anyway, ultimately, you know, whatever the date is and whatever is decided, you know, landlords are going to need some help with that. They really are, because there are properties out there that are either not up to scratch, and also properties that are never going to be up to scratch. You know, if you think of the kind of properties that a lot of landlords buy, certainly, I mean, you know, in sort of the Yorkshire area, a lot of like old two-down, old sort of, you know, the back-to-backs, pit housing, you know, mining villages and things like that. You can't put cavity wall insulation in those. So what are we going to do? What makes that okay? So I think they're the two areas that I would like to see innovation on, around affordability and also helping with the green issues. So lenders have got the work cut out for sure, in a difficult market where they're trying to sort of meet their quotas and innovate. But, you know, it's where we find ourselves, unfortunately.
Yeah, it'd be incredible if they could pull this off. I heard a little rumour, but I was advised that maybe within the next 2 years, there's some incredible inventions that are being tested at the moment, to the extent that they've even taught, I can't say who, they've spoken to someone that everyone would know who they are, about whether these inventions would increase the value of a property.
Okay.
And the idea they've got is that there would be a type of green remortgage product, which, almost like home improvements, these kits, if you like, and these other items, and I can't really go into detail on that, but the stuff that you need in your house to make this stuff operate, and the additional benefits that the house would get from a range of these different tools and products, they're trying to get clarification as to how much they think the property would increase by because of the asset. The idea being, I think they've got a AAA warranty and there's no moving parts and a lot of the equipment, meaning that there wouldn't be that much maintenance and hypothetically things to fix. And there's a lot going on in that space. I think that would make a bit of sense to me.
Yeah.
If there was a real incentive to be able to have a buy-to-let remortgage product that would upgrade the property without Absolutely. There being a great risk of the maintenance and repairs and everything that goes with that. that would help with loan to value, it'd help with loads of different things if they can pull it off. There's an element to believe it when I say it.
But. Yeah, and it's, I mean, I'm going to go totally in the ideal world here, but can you imagine if they were able to do that? So on the back of that, we're increasing, you know, the EPC ratings, which helps with obviously, you know, the government targets for climate change, which let's be honest, it's not just a government target, it's something that socially everybody needs to be on board with, because it's a real thing and everybody's trying to do the bit. And it is, you know, if everybody does a little bit, then that adds up to a big difference, doesn't it? But then can you imagine that situation there where actually you're making that property more energy efficient, the tenants' bills come down with regards to like heating, electricity and all of that sort of stuff. And then that kind of then justifies the little uptake in the rent, because anyway, it's not costing. I know I've gone total ideal world there, haven't I? But that helps affordability.
That the people behind this, that's kind of their theory. Yeah. That yeah. They're trying to square the circle of ventilation and insulation with a greener way of ultimately getting power into the property and reducing the cost of such of that power. That is incredibly difficult for them to do. I think they're looking at some quite funky things to do with ventilation, insulation. I think they've got some incredible batteries ultimately that would store greener types of energy for periods that we've never heard of before. Unfortunately, though, I think it would probably take something really extreme and extremely clever.
Yeah.
To prompt everything and move it forward. But moving on. You are a former mortgage broker yourself. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing brokers both today and potentially through 2024? I'm wondering whether it might be making deals fit affordability with rate increases, complex market. Does that mean that knowledge is needed more than ever now? Or is it a lack of work, instructions, referrals? Or is it the lender behavior, both in terms of the products, late range criteria changes, down value, and or something else?
Do you know what? It's a little bit of everything, but I think the affordability is a big issue at the minute. It's massive, you know, trying to get deals to fit and how that's going to look. So I think the affordability is probably one of the biggest challenges. But I also do think as well, you know, maybe the lack of inquiries. I think this year, you know, mortgage brokers have really felt that. You know, that they've not had the inquiries that they might have done otherwise. We've seen, you know, the new build market is just, you know, not in the best of places this year. And of course, that's a big part of, it's a big part of obviously government strategy around housing, but also, you know, a massive part of our industry as well, isn't it? You know, mortgages on new build properties. So I think probably that challenge of, you know, new inquiries for brokers without a shadow of a doubt. I think in terms of the market, so you made the point about the interest rate changes and, you know, at the start of this year, you know, brokers were tearing their hair out, weren't they? You know, up to a few months ago where products were being pulled and so difficult for lenders as well. Now, a lot of lenders have tried to sort of say, again, we put a category because we're constantly reacting at Knowledge Bank, you know, like, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? So we put a category and we asked every lender to declare what their stance was on, you know, rate pulls. Would you give any notice? How much notice would you give? And from that notice, when do you guarantee the rate? Is it when the dip's done? Is it when the application goes in? You know, what's that point, you know, that you guarantee the rate? Just to try and help navigate that. So I think we've probably managed to make things a little bit better by actually everybody can see what the game rules are. Now, it doesn't change the game. You just understand what the rules are, if that makes sense. So, but hopefully with a little bit more stability coming towards interest rates, that should be less of a problem, you know, because it was just a case of, you know, you see a client, you do the application, it's already been pulled. It was just just chaos. So I think that's going to be less of an issue, or I certainly hope it is then going into next year. But I think those new business inquiries, I think they're going to be the challenge. I do think brokers are still going to have to dig deep next year, certainly for the first half of the year, without a shadow of a doubt, because it's, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time for that confidence to return to the market. But I do think by the time we get to the second half of next year, you know, things should look a lot brighter, and hopefully affordability will just maybe ease. You know, I mentioned it earlier, the fact that we're seeing wages now that have overtaken inflation, that again, that bodes well, doesn't it? You know, people are feeling a little bit better off, not massively, but just enough to make them comfortable and make them confident. And it's what you need in them to sort of stimulate the markets, that confidence, isn't it?
Couldn't agree more. And if, I must ask you about Knowledge Bank. So obviously there's lots of key features, benefits, some of them we've touched on already. What do you think is the best feature or benefit though, if you could only pick one? I might allow you to pick your top three.
Oh, I was going to say, how can I pick one? Right, okay. Well, I mean, the system as a whole is, you know, the fact that you've got every single lender's criteria at your fingertips 24 hours a day. And it tells you exactly, they're the ones that have keyed it on. They're the ones that are saying, this is our criteria. And that you can do a search across as many criteria as you need on your case and find out which lenders will do it. So that's always been the main core function. But have to say at the minute, Notify, that is just, it's fantastic. Something we thought about doing for quite a long time, and it's been a really complex piece, but that is my absolute, it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer for lenders and for brokers. So you've got onto Knowledge Bank, you've got this case, it's a bit of a humdinger, you're thinking, what am I going to do with this? You know, when the client comes in and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this? Where is this case coming? And we've all had them, haven't we? Where, you know, you're thinking, right, this is going to take me hours and hours to place. And when you've been on Knowledge Bank, you know, you've got those lenders that you think, you know, these are worth a shout, you know, but what's the next thing that you do? Well, the next thing you do, and I know this because I've been a broker, you blind copy the world in on an email, don't you? Don't lie, you do. You absolutely do. And you cast that net out, you see who'll come back. And all these BDMs that you've ever met get a blind copied email. So with the thing, some will reply to you, some don't reply to you. Some will reply 3 days later. Some will come back and answer a question with a question, and you've just got a full inbox on this one case. Or what you'll do is you'll start picking the phone up and ringing round and all of that kind of thing, just try and get more information. We've taken all that away with Notify. So with Notify, you go on there and you select the lenders that you want to put the case to, and you'll type as though you exactly what you would put in that email, but you're sending it specifically to the lenders that you actually think there's a shout with, and the lenders all get that pings through in real time to them. Now we use what we call persistent messaging, so it's different to live chat, because with live chat, when you have a session, it disappears, doesn't it? But of course, with persistent messaging, it's there. So if you then you ping that out to the lenders, you go and see another client or whatever, you come back, it's still a live session, it's still there. Now the lenders, here's where it gets good. So the lenders can see in real time which other lenders have been asked about that case. So from their point of view, it creates that little bit of urgency to get back, because you know what, they want that business. So, but also as well, to be fair to lenders, what it does is if the broker then places that case and says, yes, I've managed to place it now, the other lenders that were going to come back maybe a few days later on an email, they're obviously a lot more responsive. You know, the SLAs are a lot quicker on Notify anyway. But they don't need to look at it if the broker's like, oh, no, I'm fine, I've sorted it, because that was the lender I wanted to go with. Their rate was the best, service levels and all of that. So it's really efficient for lenders and brokers. So we've got brokers that have used it, have said, this is me now, this is how I'll place cases forevermore. Because what you've also got as well is the audit trail. So that conversation that you've just had with that lender about this quirky case or a tricky case or whatever it might be, you've then got the audit trail then on Notify and who you've spoken to at the lender, all in writing. So, and you know that saying in our industry, if it's not written down, it didn't happen. Well, it is written down, and then you've got that then. So when it goes to underwriting, it should fly through because that conversation's been had. And we've had some brilliant examples of cases that have been placed, some of them that we've seen and that I've looked at and thought, no chance. You know, you look at that case, you think, that's not going anywhere. You know, when we were in the beta test and we were looking at what cases were going through, I mean, we don't do that now, it's live. It was just while we're in the beta that we had some sort of monitor, just see how it was working, and everyone who was testing it. And some of the cases you're thinking, that's just never going anywhere. And we had one like that, and it was placed within 20 minutes. You know, wow. The broker was ecstatic. And we had another one, which was a really complex property, and the case was, but it was worth £1.5 million as a case to the broker. And again, that got placed within the same day. You know, so the speed and efficiency is a Notify. And there's no extra charge either. It's all within, we've just put it on there now for brokers to use. So that is my absolutely favorite part of the system is Notify, because it's just a game changer. It really is. And lenders love it. Lenders are loving it as well.
Awesome. And playing devil's advocate, say I'm an experienced mortgage broker though, and I've had loads of high level experience, got knowledgeable lenders, really good relationships. Why would I trial or sign up to Knowledge Bank or use an alternative?
So I think, obviously Notify is, as I've said, that if you're using that, you're saving yourself hours and even days from ringing around, emails, clogging up your inbox and all, even for that loan. But even looking at what I've said about, the original concept of Knowledge Bank and all that criteria in one place at the same time, what advisors probably don't realize is the amount of change that goes on in the background. So on an average month, and when I say an average month, I'm talking, sometimes it's a lot higher. If anything happens, in the market, it can be a lot higher. But on an average month, we get about 2,000 changes to criteria every month. So even if you're a broker with years of experience, firstly, can you really keep up with that pace of change and know everything while you're doing your job? Secondly, I would question, why would you want to? Do you know what I mean? It's like, let's be honest, not that much fun, is it? I can think of better things to do with my time, but it's all, we're doing the job for you, So Knowledge Bank doesn't replace advisors. It doesn't give advice. We don't have any B2C access at all. What we're doing is we're giving the tools to advisors to do their jobs. So it's saving them hours, scouting around for the information. And again, with an experienced broker, we've all been there, that horrible situation where you've put a case in and it's now declined because it didn't fit on some criteria. But the lender used to do that because you've placed cases like that before, but lenders, and we love them, but sometimes when they get negative criteria change, if they get positive ones, it's all over the trade press, they'll send emails. When they get negative ones, be fair. They're not going to, their marketing department's not going to get the bugle out and go, guess what we don't do now? they're not going to do that, are they? So how are you going to keep check? Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes the lender did used to do that and now they don't. But it's all there in real time, kept up to date by the lenders on Knowledge Bank. So even if you are an experienced broker, that is fantastic because all the tricks and tips in the industry, how to think, how to speak to your clients. Just use the tool to really help bolster that knowledge and as a sense check as well, definitely.
I was wondering about compliance and regulatory considerations, both for you and mortgage brokers, yeah. Especially with the FCA Consumer Duty. How have you implemented compliance, FCA Consumer Duty responsibilities to support mortgage brokers in those compliance areas?
So we've got two things really. So first of all, as soon as Consumer Duty got announced, we were like, okay, we need to step in, we need to help with this. And the biggest challenge with Consumer Duty that we felt is identifying that potential vulnerability, because you get two people, and the example I always give is, get two people both that have just both been through a divorce. One is, absolutely broken. They may be, on the verge of bankruptcy. It's been the worst experience, mentally, everything. It's that's somebody that you need to really help and protect. Yet you've got somebody else over here that's clicking their heels in the air. They've got rid of them and they've got a nice pile of cash in the back. So you can't even say that, but you've got to treat it as a potential for everything is you're looking at it differently now with Consumer Duty. And, I would argue, I think in my experience, most brokers have been doing this forever. All we're doing is formalising it. But because it's been formalised and because it now is in regulation with regards to the FCA saying, look, as of the, was it 31st July, wasn't it? This is when it's coming in. So what we've done is we've gone through our entire category set. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of categories broken down in really, really minute detail. And we've put a Consumer Duty, a little flag against them. So if you search on one of those categories, so you've had that initial inquiry and you're looking where that case might go, you search on there and there's a Consumer Duty flag on it. So that might make you think, do you know what? I never thought about asking them. Actually, they're saying they're looking for this, but I didn't realize that was, something like first time buyers, for example. Again, that, that they're excited. They don't think they're vulnerable, but they are because of their inexperience, you know, and it's like just, it's just noting that you've had that conversation. And so to help with that as well, we've got an evidence of research that sits alongside your product evidence of research. And it does two things. One, it's, it helps you because if you've not gone for the cheapest product, which let's be honest, these days, you unless you're fudging the sourcing systems, and I don't believe anybody's doing that, Sean. But if you were, you know, you don't have to, because what you've got is your evidence of research from Knowledge Bank that says, on this day, at this time, this is what these lenders said their criteria was. I couldn't go with the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or whatever on the product sourcing because it didn't fit their criteria. And here's the evidence on Knowledge Bank's, evidence of research. We've also got the consumer duty flags on the evidence of research as well. So again, from a compliance point of view, you are bolt and braces. The minute you got that inquiry and started looking at the options, you identified what was a potential consumer duty risk, and you've covered that then in your fact find. So yeah, we've bolt and braced it for our advisors.
Yeah, I think if I was a mortgage broker using the system, that would give me a nice easy sleep. Or at least in that aspect, the record of research is massive there, I think, along with all the other benefits. I think that's brilliant. The compliance aspects of things, it's just such a nightmare at times, isn't it? Yeah. And certainly there's enough administration to do adding to that.
Totally. And the thing is, you don't want to be reinventing the wheel. And I think the biggest challenge for brokers is not actually doing things right, because I firmly believe that, you know, most brokers that I've met certainly want to do things right, and they're having these conversations. The biggest challenge is evidencing them in the file that you've done that, you know. And so that's what we're doing. We're putting that down. So straight away, you know, compliance look at it, it's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough, you've absolutely considered it. So, you know, if a complaint comes in later on, you've got your, you know, not written it down, it didn't happen, and it's all in there in the file.
Knowledge Bank webinars, Nicola, have become increasingly popular.
Yes,
people, you've got at least a fair few raving fans, I would suggest. what are your favorite topics, or what are your favorite benefits of how brokers are benefiting from the webinars?
Do you know what, I still present a lot of our webinars because I love it, and I have to fight internally still to get, because we've got Shane, who's our sales director, Jonathan, our sales, you know, they present some as well, but the criteria clinics especially I love doing. And you know, we started those, you know, we kind of didn't intend to, but in lockdown everybody was doing something a little bit different, and we were like, how can we help brokers place cases even better when they're not seeing BDMs? And actually, how can we, you know, sort of link the two together? And what I love about it, that my favorite bit about those particular ones, is that we're just placing cases on those. You know, they're so interactive. We've all been on webinars where you think, is it, you know, it's more like a seance, is anybody there? You know, it's actually genuinely asking that question. You know, you don't know if anyone's listening. And I think that's what makes ours different, is they're so lively, they're so interactive. Brokers, you know, we've got four lenders on, we're talking about a specific subject, and we can be anything. We plan them sort of 12 months in advance, and they book up about 12 months in advance as well, the lenders they want to be on there. And we can talk about absolutely anything. Do you know the one that always gets the most people on there and gets them going? Joint borrower, sole proprietor. Don't ask me why, but that is the one that is like, everybody is like, but then also as well, you know, we'll do like limited company buy select. That's always popular. You know, a lot of stuff. I mean, in January, we've got planned, we try and do them sort of relative to what's happening in the market as well. So in January, we normally do one around first time buyers, because you get a lot of people then that are, we're going to buy this year, and they've talked to family, and at family have given them money over Christmas, and you know, perhaps
had enough of the family over Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I want to get out. This is
awesome. Getting out of here.
Yeah, exactly that. And the other one that we always do, you know, around the start of the year as well, is remortgage and capital raising, because again, that's when people are, oh, I've overspent at Christmas, I need to reconsolidate, you know, consolidate debt, relook at how we're doing things. So we try and time the webinars to be helpful, although some of them are just, you know, like limited company buy select, that can be done anytime, because there's not, you know, you're getting up those inquiries throughout the year. But as I say, we do them at the criteria clinics, we do them every other Monday. But what I love is the amount of cases that we place live on there. We're just literally, right, I've got this case, and people put them in the Q&A. It's so lively. You know, the Q&A is just like going off all the time. And, you know, we've got the questions they've asked on registration, and we're just placing cases live. So if you're on there, you're either going to get your case placed if you've got one, and if not, you're going to learn an awful lot around that subject. And they're quite entertaining as well, because I've been a broker, so is Shane, our sales director. We ask the questions of lenders that brokers really genuinely want to know. You know, why did you? So why not? What about this? So, okay, what about that situation? Because you're thinking like a broker. And I think that's what makes our webinars really different and perhaps more successful than others out there, because we don't have a standard set question. We're talking to lenders like we've got our old broker hats on, and we're like, this is what they want to know. So, yeah, I love it. Really love it.
That's awesome. That's exactly. I know more obviously from the legal sector on it, and that is a massive problem still now, in that the conferences and the webinars that are there, people are just desperate to sign in the morning. If they're going face to face or even on Zoom, just kind of mute themselves and hide and make sure that they get any CPD points available. Unfortunately, like you say, it's like a seance. And what people really want to do is, obviously with client anonymity, is to be transparent and say, part of the reason I'm here today is we've all got different problems, and we can just all do a pool and some brainstorming to get some solutions. It's one of my pet hates that when regulators in particular, I hate the fact that they bring in so many different reforms and then don't use things like this to be brave enough.
Yeah.
If they're not brave enough to put through some worked examples of best practice, what they should be doing, in my view, is getting the elite of the elite, even if they're QCs, to appear within reason.
Yeah.
To say, in my opinion, these are some case study examples for you. Because wrongly, I think, but people get the impression when the regulators bring in new reforms, whether it be FCA or SRA, that they're almost trying to trip you up and say, we've set the rules, you've got to figure out how to comply. Just that bit of lack of support. And I think you can widen that out across other areas as well, that you turn up to some of these things and no one wants to just see a crib sheet that gets read through with everything. It needs to be, in layman's terms, and like you say, a bit of tennis, really, a bit of back and forth, communication, get the most value for people out of that. I definitely see why that would be so successful and what brokers need and want.
Yeah, I agree totally, to be fair, John, because, you know, nobody wants to trip up accidentally. You know, nobody's looking to make a mistake, and they don't want to trip up accidentally either, do they? So that's a really good point. And I think that, you know, that back and forth, it's you know, that's where we've been successful. It would be good to see that, definitely.
And before we wrap up, what are your plans for Knowledge Bank in 2024, Nicola? You don't tend to sit still.
No, we don't. We don't, do we? So we've got lots of new stuff coming in 2024. Obviously, we were just right at the start of Notify launching. So that for us is a massive area, because I'll tell you, brokers at the minute are either it's on the system, they've seen it, but they've not used it. And so they're just like, you know, you're busy, aren't you? I know, I've been there. You're busy. Like, what's this now? What, you know, but obviously, like everything we do, it's just so simple to use. Click, click, you're off, you know, easier than sending out however many emails. Certainly easier than calling around. But then you've got the other brokers that have used it, like, this is amazing. And this is the only way we're going to start like placing cases now with lenders making those difficult inquiries. And there's nobody in between. So I think, you know, what we're going to see is a lot more adoption of that. Because I say, we've literally just launched it. So it just does take time for everybody to go, what's that then? Let me have a go using it and all of that. So more lenders coming on to Notify as well. I mean, we've got about 30 lenders on there, real cross-section, but we're going to be rolling that out to, we've got our next phase of lenders coming in November. So, you know, ahead of next year. But as well, next year, we've got a lot of things coming for brokers as well. We've got, you know, a new search that'll be on there, you know, things that they'll be able to do just to make it that little bit easier for, you know, just from that usability perspective, you know, being able to find what they're looking for. You know, of course, you're hearing a lot about machine learning and artificial intelligence, which is also things that we already do incorporate. It's just that we don't necessarily shout about it, but it's obviously the buzzwords that are out at the minute, aren't they? So many more things that are coming, and for lenders as well. We've got a lot coming for lenders. You know, we're hoping our aim is that, you know, we want to bring bring lenders and brokers together, but to have good quality conversations and save everybody time and ultimately place those cases. That's the whole reason of why we exist. And we'll also be doing something on affordability as well, which again will help, help with that understanding and again speed things up. So yeah, lots. We don't tend to stand still, do we? It's not really in our nature. And of course, back for its sixth consecutive year, if I could even say it, is our 12 days of Christmas. So we're doing that again this year. We love that where we turn our homepage into our ho ho homepage. See what we did there. And what we do is every day we draw, lenders donate prizes, and there's some fantastic prizes. And we'll be shouting about those next month. And basically, as long as you were a user of Knowledge Bank, or even if you're in a free 30-day trial, you get access to the prize draw every day. And there's just some fabulous prizes, and that, you know, the homepage looks lovely and pretty throughout December as well. So yeah, there's that to look forward to in the short term.
Thank you so much, Nicola. I know how time precious you are. You've been so generous with your time. I'm really grateful, and thank you for being such a fantastic guest. Also, thank you everyone for listening or watching. You can find out more information about Knowledge Bank, the webinars, notify everything in the links to the show. Please share and spread the word about the MLC show. Please like and subscribe, because it helps the algorithm. And remember to check out the products and services that we have for mortgage brokers as well at mylegalclub.co.uk. We've got a unique conveyancing service with some great cashback REMO products on there, a lot of good limited company buy-to-let coverage. We do things a bit differently, but I think that's a good thing. More importantly, though, please stay well and take care.